Blog Talk Radio.
This is George Gamond, and welcome to, I get a little confused. I think it's Wednesday, isn't it? Last time I checked, I was not here yesterday. I was taking care of family business, and so I was, so I'm back today. So let's have an exciting show. You know, what are we going to talk about? Well, some of my favorite subjects, okay? Now, I want callers because, well, why do I want callers? Because it makes the show more lively, makes it more fun, and I give you information that dead people have to say to you, family members, those that you knew as you were growing up, maybe even a teacher or two. Yeah, I haven't talked to one of those in a while, so let's see if any of those will come through today for you. So let's see if any of those. So let me, you know what, I was thinking about this before I even got into the show, and I have some articles, and one of the articles is about past life stories, about people who recognized either past life stories or young people who remembered past lives. So we'll do that. Depending on the number of calls, depending on who wants to talk to me, we'll get into different things today. And I have, so we'll do that. Okay. What was I going to say? Oh, I have a Pam Grout story that I want to get into. It's Pam Grout's one of my favorite authors, and she writes some very interesting motivational, inspirational. That's what I'm all about, motivational, inspirational, and mentoring you. So I thought about, let me phrase it this way. When we have to put our show up for you to see what's going on in the show, there are certain key words that we need to use in the show. So I was thinking about these words and how appropriate, as I'm listing the words that I want to list and the expressions I want to list for what the show is all about, I'm kind of touching myself and mentally going, that's what I love to do. So let me go through those, because if you probably have seen them because you looked up the show and you go, ooh, I wonder, because I didn't use the word readings per se. I have a caller. I'll be with you in a minute. Let me just do this, set this up, okay? What I love to talk about and what I like to discuss with you, and it's all about for you. It's about mentoring, coaching, inspiring you to live the life that you want to live. So medium, which means a medium means actually talking to those who are in the non-physical world, the family members, the teachers, the relatives, the famous people from time to time. They do pop through. I could tell you a story about my first experience with a famous person. Maybe I'll do that some other time. And I've had two or three famous people, mostly musicians for some reason. Must be because I love music so much. I'm kind of a music buff. So the other one is past lives. I love to get into your past lives. I learned to do that as a hypnotherapist, and I did a lot of past life regressions, and the past life readings always kind of correspond really well with the past life regressions. So I like to do that for some reason. And the reason I like to do that, and let me go through each one of these and why I like to do each one of those and what value I think it has to you. And that's really more the value to you than me. But being a medium, why I like to do a medium, because I believe it gives hope. If I can connect with somebody in the non-physical world, let's say a grandmother, great aunt, somebody, what that means for you, you know what, I got a caller and they've been holding, so I'll get you in about a minute and then we'll go back through the rest of this, because I think it's really important for me to set up what I do so that people who listen to the archive show or find me later will realize, oh yeah, that's what he does. That's what he loves to do. That's why he does it. So the medium is about hope. It gives you hope that yes, they're there, they're safe. It also gives guidance because they know you. They know who you are. They have been following you from the non-physical world. They have answers for you because they're paying attention to you. Believe it or not, they are. But also gives us, the receiver, hope. By connecting to the non-physical world, it gives us this, oh yeah, well that's where I'm going. There is something after this. Kind of know what it is. They can explain it to me a little bit. And maybe I'm going to do that a little bit more when I talk to the non-physical people, friends, family. I'll ask them to explain a little bit more about what it's like over there in the non-physical world. So you get a better idea of where you're going. Okay? Past lives, the same thing. Past lives, a couple of reasons for past lives. First of all, it gives you the sense of hope that, yeah, I'm going to go there and going to come back. I came back. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going somewhere and I will return. There's hope that there is something. Because I don't think as many people really believe, you know, they talk about heaven, but how many people really, really, really truly believe, yeah, okay, absolutely, 100% I'm going to heaven or hell. Well, hopefully just heaven, right? Neither. But so past lives kind of give you a little bit of that. But also it teaches you a little bit more about yourself. And then the article I had talks a little bit about things that when you recognize a past life, it kind of helps you in this current life deal with issues, deal with trauma that you're facing, deal with dreams that you don't understand. Okay, so I'm going to stop there. I'll get back to this in a minute. Let me take a call, and then we'll get back to more about what I do and why I love to do it. Okay? So let me do that. And, oh, okay. Hello?
Hi, George. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm very well, thank you.
And so what's going on with you today?
I thought I'll call in and ask about something which was kind of bothering me when I read the news today. You know this gorilla which was shot dead at Cincinnati Zoo?
Yes, I heard about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's this footage, there's a 10-minute footage of the gorilla, and people are saying, and the experts are saying that he was protecting the child, and then he was trying to hold the child's hand, and from the body language, it was quite likely that it wouldn't kill the child, and which is making the whole nation or the whole world probably feel sorry about it, and then it wasn't the right thing to do to shoot the gorilla. So are you able to connect to spirit and see what would have happened had they not shot the gorilla?
Well, that's a what if, and that's kind of a dangerous what if, because then people start speculating on the what ifs that never did happen. But let me answer it this way. Would the gorilla have killed or maimed the child? And I get no. Okay? No. No maimed or killed the child. It would have been injured slightly, but because you're talking a 400-pound gorilla, that's a lot of. But no maimed or killed. Okay.
Yeah, which means it wasn't the right thing to do, isn't it?
Well, but you're dealing with people in a very panicked situation, and it's a highly emotional situation, correct?
Yeah,
and you have parents that are freaking out, and you have people that are freaking out, and so they reacted. Was it the right thing? For them at the moment, it was the right thing because they felt that the child was in danger, and they put the life of the child above the life of the gorilla. Now, that's their decision. Nobody's going to judge them for it. But, if they felt the child was in harm's way. And so, yeah, I to answer that question, the child wouldn't have been maimed or killed. I don't want to prejudice the situation because they reacted. They didn't have a lot of time to think about it and analyze it. They had to react, and they reacted. So there's no judgment there. It's much like a police officer who reacts in a situation where he believes that the civilian, the hostage, is going to be killed. Well, they react. Okay?
Mm.
And an animal is somewhat less predictable than a human. Okay?
True. Okay. Agree. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it's you know, and where the fault is, and if I was to say fault in this situation – where this is being put on the internet, it's the parents to allow the child to be to get into that situation. Okay?
Yeah, true. And the other thing I thought was it wasn't as straightforward as the zoo officials putting the child before the gorilla. They put their job and the prestige or status of the zoo before before the gorilla or even before the child. They didn't it, they acted
Yeah.
based on what they'd have done
Yeah.
rather than best.
Yeah, and they, quickly, the worst case scenario, the child is hurt, and look what we look like. The child is hurt or maimed or killed. Look what we're going to look like for not taking action. Okay?
Exactly. All right, I'll let you go back to your show. Thanks for your reading or the opinion about this incident. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's an interesting case. And it's like, it's like in a lot of situations, there are two sides to every story. Was it the wrong or right thing to do? It just really depends on how you look at it, doesn't it? Okay, so let me get back to what I was talking about. We'll get off that subject. If anybody wants to call in, if they want to talk about their past lives, or they want to talk to a dead person and see what they have to say. And the other thing is, if you have questions about what it's like on the other side, what is it like over there? What are you doing over there? What are you doing in the non-physical world? So that's what we'll get into today. We'll talk a little bit. And I have stories, past life stories, because I think are really interesting. I started doing past life readings, as I mentioned, because I did a lot of past life regressions with people and in between life regressions, which was a very fascinating process. Also, and so somehow in my ability to be a channel, I started to pick up on people's past lives, which is kind of a cool thing. So why do past lives? Well, as I mentioned, I don't want to rehash, but a lot of people come in later in the show. The reason I deal with past lives is A, we learn something about ourselves, but also gives us hope that there is something, that I'm going somewhere, I'm coming back. Okay, the other thing, and I'm going through what I do just really briefly, and because when we have to set up the show, we have to put some key points down of what we like to work on and what we'd like to talk about to people about. And the next one was life coaching. And I call it intuitive life coaching. It's letting spirit communicate to you what's going on in your life. And it's not so about when something's going to happen, but how do you get there? Okay? And it tying in with that is purpose. What is your purpose? What is your life purpose? Helping you to clarify your life purpose. What is your spirit? What does your soul have to say about your life purpose? It's all of intuitive. So it's for me, it's about inspiration and mentoring. When I was in the business world, one of my favorite jobs was mentoring people, mentoring employees, mentoring people that were on my staff so they could achieve more, reach more, get further into their careers. Whether they stayed in my departments or not, I love to mentor people. I love to see them take on responsibility and take themselves to the next level and move on and just find themselves. That brings me a lot of joy. So that's why I talk about that. And from a spiritual or from a spirit place and from the soul place and from my intuitive abilities, I let spirit talk to you about that. But next one is law of attraction. I love the law of attraction. That whole concept, I've been studying it for about 20 years now in different ways. And so I'm really into it that if we can use the law of attraction, we can really manifest what we want in our lives. But also, what's keeping us from doing it? A lot of people have watched The Secret and then got frustrated because they didn't get the new car, or they didn't get the boyfriend, or things didn't happen, or the new job never came about. And I truly believe in my heart that it's not the universe, it's not God, it's not spirit that holds us, that's holding you back. It's you. Now, that's harsh, I know, somewhat. Yeah, it's us. We create doubt. We create fears. It's our fears that limit us from receiving what we want in life. I use the garden hose analogy a lot, where the universe turns on the faucet, and through the garden hose, it's like the symbol of everything rushing to us, the waters of life, everything we need to come down this garden hose to it. But the problem is that it's not the fact that the garden hose is the faucet's not on and it's ready to pour to us, because the universe is responding to us every day. Sometimes it can be negative, and that's not always positive, because if our thoughts are negative, we're getting negative back. But we pinch off the garden hose. We pinch off the good. Our fears, our doubts, our patterns, our negativity will pinch off the good in the garden hose, and we're getting negative, okay? We're not getting nothing. Okay, so that's my analogy. So it's like, what is causing you to pinch off your garden hose? What's stopping you from getting everything you want in life? I do it. Everybody I know does it to some degree, because we behavioral patterns start at a very early age, and I've been reading this and studying this for years and years and years, that we set up our beliefs at a very early age. Before the age of 10, we got a lot of our beliefs in place, okay? So we need to work through those beliefs, because our beliefs will keep us from getting what we want. You know, if you got the early childhood belief and everybody's around you saying that rich people are really bad and having money is the root of all sorts of things, bad things, and, you know, you get that into your subconscious mind, okay? Or you get into this fear of failure or the fear of success. Fear of success is really dangerous, because you see somebody who's achieving something, like your parents, your father, your mother, achieved a lot in your life, and they hold you back. They say, you're not going to do it. They kind of limit you mentally from achieving that. So you believe this, you become this fear of success. I can't be as successful as my father or my mother or my uncle or whoever it is. So you sabotage yourself. So changing that dynamic and getting really in tune with the law of attraction will allow you to create anything you want in your life. I do think there's slight limitations. I don't kind of leave it wide open. I think we come here with a purpose to achieve certain things. So if we can focus on our purpose, if we can focus on our gifts and talents, we can achieve through those gifts and talents. Because not everybody's going to be a brain surgeon. That would be nice. No, it wouldn't. A bunch of brain surgeons running around loose. No. We have certain gifts, certain talents, certain aptitudes and attitudes that if we can use and develop those, then the law of attraction will help us to do that. If you're very good at something, the law of attraction will open up the doors to allow you to do that. Okay, so moving right along. So that's one of the areas I love to talk about. Love and relationships. I've been studying this for a long time. I've been through divorce, been through relationships, studied it in school, read a lot of books on it, gotten a lot of information from spirit on it. So that's one of the areas. Not so much about, your boyfriend or your girlfriend is coming next week. But again, we're back to this whole idea of how to make this relationship work better. What can I do? Or the other one, great one is, should I be in this relationship? Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? Should I really, really, really be in this relationship? So love and relationships are really important. I find people in relationships that you kind of wonder, why are they in that relationship? Okay, and the last one I talk a lot about is money, which is back to the law of attraction. It's about the attitude about money, you know, and not so much if it's going to come, because at some level it will come. It's just your belief system. It's your belief system about money. You know, I have this belief that I'm going to accumulate $1 million over the next few years. But, you know, how? That's really the universe's job. And then some people say that's really naive and you shouldn't believe that. But I really do believe it. And I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm just kind of open to the universe's direction on how to get there. But I also believe strongly in the idea of why do you want it? Like, why do you want a lot of money? You don't necessarily have to have a pure motive either. I mean, there are people out there who accumulate a lot of money that you can't necessarily say a pure motive. But it's good. I think it's good to have it for a pure motive. For me, it's about what can I do with money to help other people? There's certain causes that I really believe in. Helping homeless people. That's really big on my agenda. It's also helping young people, especially very creative young people that don't get the opportunity to follow their studies in the creative field, art, music, all of those sort of things where the schools have kind of pushed that aside for science and math testing and were, you know, great artists and great musicians and people, great creative people, are not given the opportunities that they should at an early age. So that's one of my causes, is to help young people to go there. Okay, so that's what I'm all about. That's what I do this show for. That's why I want to help you talk about any of those subjects, but I'm always spirit-driven. I'm a natural channel, medium channel, but I receive information from spirit. I've been doing that my whole life. I learned at an early age that I had this connection, which I didn't understand. Even in my teens or late teens, I was studying a ministerial program, and I would do kind of a form of pastoral counseling with people, and I go, where did that come from? Where did that information? That's not me. I don't know where it came from. But it's that divine connection. So I had my awakening in my 40s. Kind of like spirit kind of woke me up and said, okay, it's time to do something with your life other than just be an accountant or a manager in companies. So I did. I took it upon myself. I didn't understand it at first. But over the years, I've gotten to understand what it's all about and the areas that I love to do and areas I love to help people with. And it's always with love. Because I'm a strong believer that the agape love, principled love, is what the healing energy for the planet is. Okay, so enough about me. So I'm expecting your calls. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. We'll get into that. If you want to talk to an ancestor who has passed, or if you want to hear what they have to say to you, or you have some questions about the non-physical world. What's it like over there? Now, I did between-life regressions, as I mentioned, and when you do between-life regressions, you actually take people back to what it was like, and they explain it, and they tell you about it, and they tell you about what the process is like when they go back. It's really fascinating. Didn't get to do as many as I'd like to do, but it's an interest. Every time I did it with people, it was amazing the process they went through. And I studied it through a gentleman who was a PhD, a psychologist, who kind of developed the process of doing between life regressions and had a course or a study that you could follow. And I followed his steps, and boom, people went there. Before I even asked them to go there, they went there, which was amazing. So, okay, so let's get into some of the articles I have. I'm waiting for your calls, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. Or it's talking to a dead person, or if you have other questions, because I'm always going to frame what you would call a reading around what your ancestors might have to say to you about about the subject they're concerned about, because I find that so much more interesting than some spirit guide out there, something where this kind of tapping into the Akashic records or whatever you call it. I like to get messages from someone in the non-physical world that's connected to you. Okay, explaining all that. So we're talking about the law of attraction, which is one of the things I love to do. And Pam Grout's one of my favorite authors, and she wrote E Squared and E Cubed, which gave us a process of manifesting things in our lives. And a little step-by-step, certain exercises that you could do to do that. And I'm going to read a couple of her examples, the stories that she gets from her readers and clients that kind of talk about this law of attraction and how it works for her. And I think it's kind of fascinating. So let me do a couple of those, and then we'll get back into past life stories. But primary thing is to hear from you. So I will check back and see if you're there, and we'll go from there. Okay, number one, Pam's story said, and this is from one of her readers. Remember how you told us in E Squared how badly you wanted to travel, and that you found the perfect job that allows you to do so. You write from any corner of the world. Yes. Well, I made it my mission. They don't give me a name of who this is, but just assume it's one of her readers who responding back to her. Okay. And like you said, the universe is always paying attention. It always has our backs. I got fired not from one, but three different jobs, and I knew I had to continue sending out. She calls it CVs, but it's like a request to the universe to do what I had to do. But then it hit me. Did I? did I? Instead of sending out 10 CVs per day or requests, and I decided to take naps. So that made me have a talk with creativity, which inspired me to launch my own online language business. It's been a year now. I take my laptop everywhere I want to and work from there. And it doesn't feel like I'm working so much as enjoying meeting people from different sides of the world. It is so awesome. Life is so good to you when you are good to yourself and trust. Ooh, that's the key word there. Isn't it trust that the universe will provide you what you want? Right now, for example, I'm sitting in an apartment I rented in a beautiful city in Mexico. You know, the key I got from that, and I've read this a lot of different places about the law of attraction, you don't have to continue asking. We assume that if you don't ask something every day, I want my $1 million and I want it now. I want my $1 million. And I mean, every day you're going through this, I want my $1 million, I want my $1 million, I want my $1 million. It's like we're saying, well, the universe can't hear us. They're deaf. They're hard of hearing. They don't get it. I've been asking, what happened? You're not hearing me. You're not paying attention. They got it. They absolutely have it. But now you have to get out of the way. Now you have to go do something that feels good and allow it to happen. And with that lady, she went and took a nap. She relaxed. She let it go. She said, oh, I don't have to ask. I can just go take a nap. I can allow the universe to do its job. I don't have to keep asking. It will do it. And every time you ask, your energy gets weird sometimes. You know what I mean? It gets weird. It's just like all negative and, oh, where is it? I want it now kind of thing. So it's just letting it go. That's what I got from that. And I think that's an interesting story because it tells you, okay, you've asked. Now go relax. Go do something that's fun. Go enjoy life. You don't have to worry about it. It's going to be okay. The universe hears, or God hears, what you have to say. So go feel good. And when you feel good, you're unpinching the garden hose, which if you haven't heard that analogy before, I just did it a few minutes ago. If by pinching the garden hose of everything you want, you're holding it back. And by asking, you're doing more pinching. Let go. Relax. Have some fun. That's a principle of the law of attraction, which Pam was talking about here and her reader was talking about. So number two, if I can find it. Okay, so writing to Pam, they said, your book E-Squared. See, it sounds like I'm doing a commercial for Pam, and I don't mean to do that. I just like these articles, and I like these stories that people write about the law of attraction. Came at a perfect time for me. I'm a small business owner, and I was struggling to find personnel for my store. Inspired by you, I decided to create a vision board where I put pictures of the type of people I wanted to attract, along with the affirmation, the person I'm looking for is looking for me, and I will find him, and they will find me. Within 48 hours, I hired a girl who is perfect for me and is moving from Florida to Massachusetts to the same town where my business is. We are meeting in 3 days. Thank you for the wisdom and reminding me that I had forgotten we are all magical beings. So putting it out there. That's, again, putting it out there. And I'm assuming this person kind of went away mentally from it. Just put it out there, did the vision board, wrote the affirmation, walked away from it, and bam, the universe brought what she wanted. A person that was perfect for her job. So it's about faith. It's about trust. It's about faith that, yes, they're listening. There's a spirit teachers out there listening. Maybe it's your grandmother's listening and going, okay, I'll help her. I'll open some doors for her. I know that's hard. That's difficult at times. It really is hard to get because, like, wait a minute. Really? Really? So that's part of my job, is to help you believe or to give you enough information. And that's where the past lives, talking to dead people, is about. So I kind of believe there's something on the other side, the non-physical world, that's going to assist you in your daily activities, that they're going to open doors for you. They're going to show you the right person. They're going to bring you the right person in your life, the correct lover. Okay, last story, real quick. The last story comes from a member of my Possibility Posse. She had just graduated from college 2 weeks ago. Last week, while taking a shower, she thought to herself, I think I'm going to start looking for a job today. Simple affirmation. I'm going to start looking for a job today. She got out of the shower, found a message on her phone from an architectural firm, that she hadn't contacted or even heard of, asking her to call them for an interview. She started today. Now, obviously, and if I was to kind of interpret that story, that she had in her mindset that she followed these principles and she was listening to this field of possibilities, that there's a possibility of things coming to you, a great possibility of things happening. So she helped in her mind, this is the day I'm going to start looking for a job. I believe it's going to come to me. I really accept that concept. And bam, it did. So here's the test from Pam's writing, and I think it's a really good test from Pam's writing. If you think, well, I don't know about this stuff. I think it's a little iffy. I'm not sure if I can do this. Do the 48-hour or 78-hour test. Ask for something simple, not a biggie. Don't ask for the $1 million in 48 hours or 72 hours. Ask for something simple to come in your life, something you've been thinking about that you want, and make a request. Please bring to me something in 48 hours. It could, whatever that could be. In 48 hours, I'd like to meet somebody who will, we're not a romantic partner here, but in 48 hours, I'd like to meet somebody who will give me clarity about my life. That's a simple one, right? Or in 48 hours, I will read something or see something that will help me to understand a little bit more about whatever the subject is. Or in 48 hours, I will meet or I will find a way to meet somebody in my life. Or in 48 hours, I will find a path to get a job. An opportunity will come to me for a job. Doesn't mean you'll get the job, but an opportunity for a job. So that's kind of like Pam's test, but do it 48 hours, 72 hours, maybe by Sunday night. What is this? This is Wednesday. By Friday night, you'll get something. It'll happen. But you got to have faith. You can write it down, put it in the drawer, and forget about it. Just let it go. Once you put it out there, let it go. That's the key thing here is once you've asked the universe, God, whatever you call it, source, let it go. Go have some fun. Go enjoy life. Okay, so let's get into – we're going to talk about past lives. Now I ask people who want – in the chat room, and this show is really today is about, okay, what do those in the non-physical world have to say to you? Your family, your relatives, your friends, your teachers, whoever has passed, what information do they have for you? And you can tie that into whatever problems you have in your life for things you're trying to find, let them answer the question for you. And the other thing I suggest, if you want to know more about what it's like in the non-physical world, let them comment on that. Let them give you some information. And it gives us a little bit of hope, something to look, well, not necessarily want to look forward to in the sense we're going to want to go quickly, but you know what I mean? Okay. And, or if you want to delve into a past life, I love to talk about your past lives. All I need for a past life, even if you're in the chat room, is real first name and what year you were born for past life. Seems like this seems to come pretty quickly. Or talking to dead people, same way, works same way. Okay, so I got somebody writing something, maybe they're a general comment, I don't know. We're going to get into a couple of articles I found really kind of fun about past life stories. The one was about children who are in their past lives. One I've read before. Wait a minute, okay. I would like a past life reading. I can't call in. Sorry. You were born in 1984. Wow. We got a couple people. Beautiful lady. What's your first name? Actual first name. Beautiful lady is a beautiful name, but you probably don't have that in your birth certificate, I would imagine. Sherry. Okay, so let me do number one and number two. Okay, we have 84, past life. Let me see what I get. Born in 84, you died in the last past life, late 1930s. Ooh, yeah. late 1930s. The region of the world I get is South America. Wow. Okay, South America, and it feels like I keep getting this energy around Brazil. You have anything about Brazil? You ever live in your Brazil? You ever been to Brazil? You speak Portuguese? I don't know. If there's something about Brazil in the 1930s, what were you doing, male or female? Female. So you were a female in a past life in Brazil. You died in the late 1930s. You were about what age when you died? I'm just asking to see what kind of like rhetorical questions here. In your 60s, okay, you lived in a big city. What did you do? Female, what, housewife, grandchildren, okay? It's not the most, sometimes you think, so I don't know. It doesn't matter if you've ever been there. That's what I get. Housewife, Brazil, kind of, what did you die of? You drank too much. Okay? You drank too much. That's really weird. But you drank too much. Why did you drink that much in that life? You were bored. You were bored. Let's just leave that life alone for a moment. It doesn't sound too exciting, does it? But let me go to why. What do you get from that? This lifetime is about adventure for you. This lifetime is really about adventure. This lifetime is about breaking out of the mold, doing things differently. I would assume that you don't drink a lot in this lifetime, and that's just usually how we react to a past life. We go, I don't want to do that anymore. Okay. But I get it's a real sense of adventure in this lifetime, because last lifetime was kind of boring. You're stuck, your grandmother, you liked the kids, but, it was a boring life. You lived in a big city in Brazil. So around, it really is about adventure, striking out, because you're really handy with things. You're really good at things. You're really good at managing things. And you were really good at managing things in that lifetime, like family, friends, blah, 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 blah. But you never got to get outside of that and really use those skills and abilities. So you're really good at managing things. So use it. Use your skill. Okay? Who was that? Who did I just talk to? Okay. Yeah. So I have another one. Oh, what happened? Wasn't there a second person that wanted to know? No. I guess there was. Oh, you are. Secret baby. Okay. So beautiful lady. Aha. Okay, so you were born in 73. Sherry. Okay, let's see what I get for Sherry. Okay, 73. When did you die? 1920s. Okay, late 20s. Around the time of the financial crash. Yes. So I do get New York. I do get New York. Oh, you were one of those people. Oh, I'm sad. You were in your 50s. You had built an empire, money. You must like money. I think you still like money. I mean, not obsessed, but you like money. Because it was in the late 1929, New York, you were in your 50s. You were a financial wizard, and you lost it all. Boom, done. And what I get, you're more conservative in this lifetime. You're not as much of a risk taker in this lifetime. Okay? Not as much of a risk taker in this lifetime. Because you, how do I put this? It was suicide by car, meaning that you didn't necessarily want, your intention wasn't to, but you just kind of like lost it after losing all your money. So you came back to this lifetime still liking money, but a little more conservative about money, a little bit more hesitant about money. You're going to do well financially, or you're doing well financially. See, I don't know why I get all this, but I just get it. So enjoy it. Okay? Don't take huge risks like you did before. That's what I get. So a little more conservative about your financial needs. So that's what I do with past lives. And I think that they're kind of interesting, and I think they can help us a lot in understanding ourselves. And that's what I get. And I just see pictures. Spirit shows me pictures. And I saw the picture of New York in the 1929, and I saw people panicked, and I saw you panicked, and you drove, and you just drove. And But I really don't think there was a lot of drinking involved in that. I don't get alcohol connected to that or drugs. I just, you know, it's just distraught. Death by car. Okay. Well, okay. That's enough of those. We gotta get somebody out there that's got more of a fun story about a life. I think the lady in Brazil was kind of fun, but she was kind of like bored to some degree. You know, she had a lot of talents. You had a lot of talents and ability. You just never used them fully. But you're doing it now. You went away, but you're doing it now. Okay? So are you ready for some past life stories? How much time do I got? I got lots of time. Anybody want to call in? Anybody else want anything? Questions about their past lives? One of my friends who's listening texted me. What? Texted me something like that. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. 1949. She's not here in the chat room, but I didn't give her an answer anyway. When did she die? Wow. Okay. I'm kind of going. Okay. I don't know if I'm tapped into her properly or not, but I get 1941. I get Pearl Harbor. Not because of somebody named Pearl here, but I did see Pearl Harbor. I did see 1941. That came in really fast. Civilian, not military, were there at whatever it was. Civilian employee of the Navy was killed during Pearl Harbor. Female. It might have been a nurse. Or it might have been – it doesn't even feel like a nurse. It feels more like a person who – did things for the Navy, like more like in cooking or something. I don't know. It just feels that way. Yeah, you were caught up in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you were in your late 30s. You were working for the Navy as a civilian, wrong place, wrong time. And 1941, Pearl Harbor. You definitely want to outlive that one, don't you? You're here this time to outlive that one. I don't know if you have a special connection to Pearl Harbor or not, but it feels like if you went there, it would bring back a lot of memories. So somewhere in your lifetime, if you want to go to Hawaii and go to the memorial, it probably will bring a rush of memories back from that time period. Okay, enough of those. Maybe unless anybody else has a question or thought or about past lives, but wow, that was kind of, that one came in quick for some reason. It came in very quick, about 1941. Pearl Harbor. They show me pictures. Okay, I'm going to do the past life stuff. Unless anybody has, I'm going to check back, and if you guys have questions or want to talk to me or have anything else about past lives or want to talk to somebody in the non-physical world, we can do that. Okay, so where am I at? Okay, children who seemingly remember past lives. And this is from Psychology Today, and it doesn't give me a date of the magazine. And Michael Jauer is the writer of the article, and I'm trying to get specifically to the articles themselves. And this is from a magazine by Sean Lyons, and it was done at the University of Virginia magazine. I think I've read this one before, but if you haven't heard the story, it's a great story. And I think in my past I read that. And I'll check back with you guys as I go through the story and see if anybody wants to talk to me. Okay, when Ryan was four, he began directing imaginary movies. Shouts of action often echoed from his room. But the play became a concern for Ryan's parents when he began waking up in the middle of the night, screaming and clutching his chest, saying he dreamed his heart exploded when he was in Hollywood. Wow, it's pretty heavy, huh? His mother asked his doctor about the episodes. Night terrors, the doctor said. He'll outgrow them. Then one night, his mother tucked Ryan into bed. Ryan suddenly took hold of her hand. Mom, he said, I think I used to be someone else. He said he remembered a big white house and a swimming pool. It was in Hollywood, many miles from his Oklahoma home. He said he had three sons, but that he couldn't remember their names. He began to cry, asking his mother over and over why he couldn't remember their names. "I really don't know what to do," she said. I was more in shock than anything. He was so insistent about it. After that night, he kept talking about it, kept getting upset at not being able to remember those names. I started researching the internet about reincarnation and even got books from the library on Hollywood, thinking their pictures might help him. I didn't tell anyone for months. One day, Ryan and his mother had paged through one of the Hollywood books. Ryan stopped at a black and white photo, still taken in a black and white still taken from the 1930s movie. Night after night, two men were in the center of the picture, were confronting one another. Four other men surrounded them. His mother didn't recognize any of the faces, but Ryan pointed to one of the men in the middle. "Hey, Mama," he said, "that's George. We did a picture together." His finger then shot over to a man on the right, wearing an overcoat and a shawl. "That's me. I found me." The book didn't provide any names of the actors pitched, but he confirmed that the man Ryan said was George in the photo was indeed George Raff, and all but forgotten film star in the 1930s and 40s. Still, his mother couldn't identify the man Ryan had said it was him. She wrote Tucker, whom she found through her online research, and included the photo. Okay. Eventually, it ended up in the hands of a film artist who, after weeks of research, confirmed the man's name was Martin, an unaccredited extra in the film. Not long afterward, Tucker and the family traveled to California to meet the man's daughter, who had been tracked down by researchers working with Tucker on a documentary. Tucker sat down with the woman before her meeting with Ryan. She's been reluctant to help, but during her talk with Tucker, she confirmed dozens of facts Ryan had given her father. Interesting stuff, huh? I read this because I'm going, oh, this is really cool stuff. Let me keep going. I think you guys will find this fascinating. And this past life story stuff is cool to me. Ryan had said he danced in New York, and Martin was a Broadway dancer. Ryan said he was an agent, and that people where he worked had changed their names. Martin worked for years as a well-known talent agency in Hollywood, where stage names are often created. After his dancing career, Ryan said his old adage rock in its name. Martin lived at 825 North Roxbury Drive in Beverly Hills. Ryan said he knew a man named Senator Five. Martin's daughter said she had a picture of her father with a Senator Irving Ives of New York, who served in the U.S. Senate from 1947 to 1950. Yes, Martin had three sons, the daughter of whose he knew their names. Wow. What do you think about that? I mean, that's kind of a fascinating story, and I love that story, and I don't know if you're with me still, but it's just amazing recalling. So one of the other articles I have is about dreams, and I'm running out of time here, but let me get to the second one about children. But sometimes in our dreams, if we have these really startling dreams about places, I'll give you my story. I had this reoccurring dream when I was younger of being like in a dusty street in the Old West. And in the recurring dream, I was shot with bullets. Okay, obviously bullets. And I was shot and I was laying in the dirt. But in the dream, I don't remember dying or moving on or doing anything, right? And so many years later, I had a past life regression done on me from a student at a hypnosis institute. And I said we exchanged past lives. And I was kind of curious how she did it and how they were teaching it at the time. And I went to the Old West. And I told this whole story about living in the Old West and being a marshal and being, and then in the past life regression, I was shot 6 times. Okay. Light on the ground, just like in the dream. Now, I decided after the past life regression, I was going to do some research because I got the name of the gentleman. I gave her the name of the person that I was in that lifetime. And so I thought I would do some research. And so I did some historical research on that individual. And lo and behold, I was shot 6 times. But I lived. I recovered and lived many more years. So that's my story. And it's amazing when you get into this past life. So if you have some dreams that you really can't explain and they seem so real, like you're really there, it could be a past life. So get a regression. Get a past life regression if that happens to you. And you might be really surprised at what you come up with about your life. Now, I have another one too about me. For some reason, I have a thing about the city of Baltimore. Now, I've never been to Baltimore. Never in my whole life, but I had ever since I was like, I don't know, 8, 9 years old, I had a fascination with Baltimore. I lived near Detroit. The Baltimore Orioles came into existence, and I had this really fascination with the Baltimore Orioles. And anything about, I remember seeing movies about Baltimore, and I had this fascination. But I've done a past life regression on myself, but I was there. I was in Baltimore. And I was stabbed to death by my wife at the time. And she ran off in a carriage or car. I think it was a carriage. I think it was much before the what? I don't know if it was a car or a carriage, but she ran off. And it was in Baltimore, in that region of the country, way back when. So that's kind of a connection I had there. So anybody else have a dream that you can't understand? And maybe it has something to do with a past life. Maybe that will help you get closure on that dream by going there and going into your past life. Or if you want to explain the dream, I can kind of give you insights on the dream about, okay, this is where it is. So let me get into the second story if there's no other callers and questions about past lives. And this is the second story about a child. The second case is equally remarkable. It's involved a 2-year-old, James Leninger, a Louisiana boy who loved toying planes. But he started to have repeated nightmares of a horrible plane crash. He would kick his legs up in the air, screaming, "Airplane crash on the fire! Little man can't get out!" Then during the day, he would slam his toy planes into the family's coffee table by yelling, "Airplane crash on fire!" to the extent that there were dozens of scratches and dings in the table. James talked about the crash, relating that he had been a pilot. He had been flown off a boat. His father asked him the name of the boat that he said, Natoma, where his father remarked, "Well, that sounds Japanese to me." James said, "No, it's American." James went on to say that he had piloted a type of plane called a Kozar, and his nickname was Little Man, and that he had a friend on a boat named Jack Larson. After years of painstaking research, James' father learned that an American aircraft carrier, the USS Natoma Bay, had supported operations in Hiroshima, during the World War II battle, and that he had lost one pilot there, a young man from Philadelphia named James Houston. James Houston. His plane crashed almost exactly as described, hit the engine, exploding, crashing into the water, and quickly sinking. The pilot in the next plane to him, when this happened, was named Jack Larson. Wow. What do you think about that? He remembered his own death. Wow. And so I would encourage you, if you really find this fascinating, there's lots of books out there that get into childhood memories of past lives. And I think it'd be really fascinating for you to, if you're interested in, to find these books. And I'm trying to remember who wrote them. I think Dr. James Moody, if I remember correctly. And if you get back to me, I can kind of, you know, find some books if you're interested on this sort of thing. But why do I bring it up? it helps give closure in your life. It keeps an understanding that you were here before. This is not only your only lifetime. You got lots of other lifetimes that you've lived through. And by exploring these lifetimes, you get a better sense of your purpose, your role. Because, you know, it's like that young boy who had a fascination with airplanes. Well, he's probably had a fascination with adventure through many, many different lifetimes. Okay? Any questions? Anything you want to talk about? Anything, questions about past lives? Or, you know, talking to a non-living relative. Okay, let me get into a quote because I've got a few minutes left, not much time, and I want to just cover up one more thing. I'm not going to get into the other stories, any of the past life stories other than children. So I refer to the Abraham material a lot. And let me get to the latest one. I think it's yesterday's I wanted to cover. Nope, it's today's. Okay, follow me back into this thing. I think this is a good quote. Think about this for a while. You're not ever going to get it done. Every time you evaluate contrast and conclude that line up your energy and allow it to be in your experience, at the same time you are achieving the result of what you intended. You also achieve new perspective from which to intend. You can't stand still. In every moment, there is a whole new set of stuff, new ideas, new desires being born. And that's an interesting quote, and it's from the Abraham material in 1998. But it's that whole concept of we never stop wanting things. We never stop wanting to create, and we never stop wanting to do things. And when they use the word contrast, it's like seeing something you don't want. It's seeing a problem, and you go, ah, I'm going to fix that problem. Like the inventor, it sees a problem. I don't want to have to work so hard to get this jar open, right? So I'm going to invent something to open jars quicker, right? That's how things happen. You see a contrast. You see something you don't want in the world or your life, and you go, I'm going to change it. I'm going to make something happen. That's contrast. So every day we see contrast. We see something we don't want. We see something that moves us forward to do something we do want. But it never ends. And that's so fascinating about the law of attraction. It only ends in a lifetime when you stop wanting. And when you stop wanting, it's time to transition. Okay, I'm done. I'm just going to stop wanting in this lifetime. It's not that I'm going to stop forever, because you'll come back and you'll want something new and you'll change things and do things differently in the next lifetime. It never stops. But in a lifetime, it stops. And when you decide, I'm done with this lifetime, I'm moving on. Okay? That makes sense? It all to you? It makes sense. So I have about a minute and a half left in the show. And I had a lot of fun. You know, I used to do the show for 45 minutes and I've expanded to an hour. And the reason I expanded to an hour was to take more of your calls, to get more into what you want to talk about. And as I talked about earlier in the show, there's certain areas I really love to delve into. But each one of those areas that I love to delve into have something to do with your life and helping you, whether it's a medium or whether it's dealing with past lives or life coaching or purpose or law of attraction or love and relationships or money. All of those areas have something to do that's a problem in your life. And so what I'm all about is tuning into what the universe, spirit, has to say, your dead relatives, whoever it might be, to help you in those areas in your life. I do this from love. I love you guys. I love to talk to you people. I love doing this. I really enjoy this concept. You know, I don't get paid unless you want to contribute to the show, but you can do that through my website, through the pay. There's a link in my page here on Blog Talk if you're willing to do, if you want to do that and contribute a couple dollars. But I do this out of fun. I do this because I enjoy it, and I do it because I think I can help people. I really believe I help people in some way. So I want to thank those who have listened today, who participated in the show. I will be back tomorrow. I have no idea what we're going to do tomorrow. Who knows? Spirit tells me in the morning. Have a beautiful evening. Bye.